Hi, this is Bobby Ojeda, and you are listening to my podcast, Bobby O's Change of Pace. And today, as usual, we're going to talk a little Yankees and a little Mets. And I'm going to start with the Yankees because there is a sense of panic that I'm kind of picking up from what I'm reading and what I'm seeing and when I'm watching the games. And this is a real test of Aaron Boone's leadership. His first really, like, legit test, because this team is looking at the playoffs. They're looking to, for some reason, they're panicked about a one-game playoff. Now, I admit, you don't really want to do it, but why should it be a panic? Teams should embrace pressure and embrace a one-game playoff if it comes down to that. But with that said, this is a big, big weekend for Aaron Boone. They got four games set against Boston, who's playing extremely well. Both teams are 6-4 in their last 10. So nobody's on fire. Both teams had a pretty good July. Both teams, not just the Boston Red Sox. So both teams are playing pretty solid baseball. The trouble Boone has right now, and it showed the other day, and you never want this to happen. The coach, Phil Nevin, in the dugout snapped. Okay, I get it. You know, guys get mad. Guys get angry. Coaches. But there's a decorum in the dugout, similar to there's a decorum on the field. As we just saw Washington, you know, can a pitcher who's doing pretty good because he showed emotion, slammed his glove in a blowout win, he gets bounced. Well, the Yankees are, you know, chasing the Red Sox 5.5 back, doing extremely well. You've got a coach who snaps in the dugout, which is the equivalent of the field. Okay, that's the equivalent of the field in the dugout because it's in front of people. You lose your cool, but that decorum, that chain of command was broken. And it was broken in front of the fans. It was broken in front of the other team, which only makes them happy. When they watch the other side, you know, freak out, it makes you happy. So for a coach to step way out of line like that, I don't care how much you like them or don't like them, players or whoever, that's not what you do. It's the equivalent of somebody else yelling at your kids. This is Aaron Boone's team. Now, this coach may want to be a manager someday or not. I don't really know who he is, and I don't care. But for what he did in that dugout, that was awful. That should be addressed between him and Aaron and should never happen again. The team is sensing I see a panic mode, and moves like that just confirm there's panic. Now, this is August 2nd. If you got coaches freaking out now, wait till you got 2 weeks to go and you're maybe two or three games back. So Aaron Boone's got to get a handle on his ball club and remind everybody, players and these coaches, that it's my team. My team. You may not like it. You may not like being a coach, but it's my team. Don't you yell at my kids. And I say that because I think we can all relate to that. If you're at the playground and somebody yells at your kid, you're hey, I'll take care of this. There's a time and a place. I got a stamp on this club. It's mine. It's not yours. You are here to help me do my job. Overstepping your bounds was wrong. Wrong thing to do. So that's one of the things that is a big problem that Aaron has to adjust to. The other thing, okay, Gray. You've got a problem with Gray. All right, he's not pitching well. Sonny Gray is not pitching well. That's no shocking news here. But what's alarming to me is don't tell me how good you are when you're good. And Gray, when he's good, is pretty good. Okay, he's got 50-plus wins in the big leagues, and he's got 3-7 in the big leagues. Pretty good. But how are you when you're bad? And you've heard me say this before. When he's bad, he's awful. And what do I mean by that? 21 starts, 8 times he's given you less than 5 innings. All right? That's unacceptable. That when you're bad, I don't want you that bad. And as awful as that number is, 6 times he's given me less than 4. That's unacceptable for a major league starting pitcher, especially one on a team chasing a flag. Because not only are you giving us, putting us behind the 8-ball early, now you're chewing up my bullpen. I can't have that. I can't have you chewing up my bullpen. So like him, hate him, whatever, his bad games, his bad times are unacceptable. Don't tell me how you are when you're good. How are you when you're bad? Said a million times. When he's bad, he's horrible. And he affects your staff for days to come. Should not get the ball. He should not get the ball as a starter the rest of the season. Throw him in a bullpen if you like, but they got to plug somebody else in there. They got to get somebody with his feet under him. As I said, it's August 2nd. gift somebody to get his feet under him as the pressure increases and see how he responds to it. You'd be shocked how many guys love pressure, love pitching with a lead. You may find that guy, and you are going to need him in that postseason, whether out of the pen or a starter or in that all-important single playoff game if they run into that. So that's the Gray situation. Should not get the ball again. His bat is awful. His bat is awful. Hurts my entire staff. Now let's slide over to the Mets. Mickey Callaway, I'm going to start with him. Continues to show he's overmatched. The blowout game the other night against Washington, when guys were, you know, really having a good time in the dugout. Man, oh man. Unacceptable. You're talking about somebody needs to yell at the kids. He needs to yell at his kids because it's just a bad look. It's just a bad look. I get it. A lot of guys really don't care if you win or lose. I'm sorry. That's the reality. They don't. But you should have enough respect for yourself, for your teammates, for your manager, and importantly for your fans, to not make it a party when you've had a disastrous year. You're losing. You've been out of it really since June. And it's a party? No one wants to see that. That falls on Mickey Callaway. Suggestion. Here's my suggestion. I'm going to jump to a suggestion for next year. They need to start making moves. They need to start understanding we can't sit pat. Now, first move I would do, Mickey Callaway next year is going to be my pitching coach. I move him down. He's really not competent as a manager. He's not. I can't have a manager develop at the major league level when I'm trying to compete. They said they're trying to compete next year. Well, that's a pipe dream. You know, they sat on these guys. They didn't want to trade them. So I got to move him down. Speaking of trading, the Mets and their overvaluing of their players has never been more evident, ever, than, you know, their rhetoric of, it's going to take a truckload to get us apart with these guys. These guys are all studs, all aces. They're all the you know, here we go. Boom, they're awesome. Well, The trade deadline came with the Mets negotiating from a very weak position. Everybody knows they need offense. They need a balanced offense. They need to get younger. They need to get more athletic. They need to get a more balanced lineup with some guys who can get on base and get a little speed. Everyone knows that except who? The Mets. We're going to sit tight and go. We're going to build around these pitchers. By the way, they ranked 28 out of 30th in the big leagues in pitching. Okay? But back to the trade, back to overvaluing what you have, back to overplaying your cards. Matt's the day after he does not get traded, elbow issue. Came back today, no structural damage. That doesn't mean there's not ligament problems. He's had Tommy John. He was out last year for elbow problems. How much value does he have? I mean, come on, really? You know, it can't overvalue these guys and think you're going to compete next year. So that's just one of the things I think is one of the biggest problems, overvaluing what you have. The fact that Matz is left-handed and they mature later, he's 27 years old. Okay, I get that argument. The fact that Matz has been hurt on and on and on and on and on negates any value. It negates any value. Anybody who gets him, it's a ticking time bomb. Most teams don't trade for people who are continually hurt. Most teams do not trade for guys who are continually hurt. And if they do, it's a rental situation. And even that, bad teams may trade for him, but no one trades for him. Not even a rental. Where am I going with that? No. No one trades for guys who are injury prone, who have an elbow or a shoulder, which is the worst thing for any pitcher. Okay? The worst thing. Do I think there was interest? Minor interest. Another guy on the same staff, Wheeler, he's managing to stay healthy, which is fine. He's getting some mound time. He's kind of figuring out pitches. Again, a guy who's had numerous injuries with his arm. It's something that is just the red flag that just, it's like looking at Carfax. You want to buy a car, you look at the Carfax. Well, it's been in 3 wrecks. It's got a blown engine. It's got all this. You're like, why am I buying that? There's other cars I can get that don't have that record. Everybody knows everything. The idea of building around these 4 guys is nonsense with the team they have. How are you going to build when you need everything around 4 guys who, I know they've all believed they're the greatest pitchers in the history of the world. They got one, and that's DeGrom. Syndergaard can't stay on the hill. He's got talent, but he can't stay on the hill. There's that Carfax. Look it up. Wheeler is, you know, I hope he stays healthy forever. But he hasn't. His history is what it is. And Matt's again proved why the Mets have to stop saying we're going to build around these pitchers. They have to stop saying that because no one believes it. I don't even think they could possibly believe it at this point. But it's one of those things that comes with moving this thing forward. So stop believing those things. Now, as I said, move Mickey Callaway to pitching coach. Bring in a manager who can create some accountability, which there is none, as evident in that game the other night in Washington. Bring in a manager who can you know, say, okay, we're really going to do accountability. We're not kidding this time. I would put Ireland down as a minor league pitching coordinator. Why? Because he seems to have a good feel. Again, I don't know him from Adam, but he seems to have a good feel for pitching. And there's some things being done wrong. We see pitchers come to the big leagues here with the Mets who don't know what they're doing. They just don't. And the rest of that staff in the minor leagues needs to go too, because you got players coming to the big leagues who don't know what they're doing. Rosario looks like he's played the game for 2 weeks, half the time. He's learned from Reyes how to have swagger and, you know, a lot of flash, but not much else. So they need to change the whole message of that organization. That's why I'm saying moving it forward. The season is a lost cause. The season is a lost cause. When I keep hearing them say we're going to evaluate what we have, if you don't know what you have now, when are you going to know what you have? The important thing is you know what you don't have. Don't look at what you have. Look at what you don't have. Make a list of what I don't have. And then go from there. And I think that will help them. As soon as today, I would hope that GM search is going on. It may hurt some feelings around there, because word gets out internally if there's somebody coming in getting interviewed, or they're doing something away from the ballpark to be interviewing somebody away. But that search needs to happen now. This three-headed game they've got going on is not going to fly. There's a reason it doesn't work. One guy has to be accountable. They talk about accountability. Well, how can you have accountability with three guys? You can't. One guy has to wear it. One guy has to put on his big boy pants and make the decision. Make the decision of what direction they're going to go, and believe in himself and get people to believe in his direction and go from there. But certainly simplify things. So that search should be happening now. And the guy you look for is, you want a guy with some experience. You want a guy who doesn't try to reinvent the wheel. Okay? It is what it is. This is why people love baseball, because it's one and one is two. They just went through 10 years with Sandy and his hitting theories and what have you. It's not about that. Everybody has to play together, but everybody doesn't have to be the same. You can't be in the same mode. You can't be in the same mindset, because that, as a pitcher, that makes it easy for me. Now, I watch Rosario hit. I watch Nimmo hit. I watch what they do, and the tendency is the same. Take pitches. Oh, my gosh. That worked for 1 year, and then everybody, because nobody could believe it. Taking fastballs right down the middle. So I don't think you can teach a great eye. You can't teach a great eye, and that's what you're trying to do. It's a gift. It's like a 98 mile an hour fastball. Fantastic. Daniel Murphy had one of the best eyes I've ever seen. He still does to this day. Guy knows his strike zone. He adjusts to each and every umpire. I think Rosario's trying to do that, but he's a free swinger, so he's got a lot of problems. I see a guy with a lot of squirrels in his head right now. Do I take? Do I swing? Do I go out of the zone? Do I try to drive somebody in? You know, the surprise, the antics when a pitch is called a strike. The kid's got less than a year in the big leagues. Come on, man. Concentrate on what you got to do. Get your hits. Zero in. Understand what the pitcher's trying to do. Again, it goes back to not prepared when they get to the big leagues. Not prepared when they get to the big leagues. And it doesn't take long for guys to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how to pitch through that. And take the pressure off these young guys. This is another reason why they need to bring in some guys immediately some veteran guys who know how to play that are not over the hill, but just veteran ball players, good solid ball players who play to win, play hard, aren't into theatrics. And let these guys watch that. Let these guys be in that locker room, in that dugout. I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think for a minute that Justin Turner would become who he is had he stayed a Met. Because the antics were allowed. The pie in the face used to drive me nuts. It's like, kid, come on, man. You're in the big leagues. Concentrate on what you got to do. What happened? The guy, they give up on him. He goes out to L.A. and becomes a baseball player. I'd like to see more baseball players come into this ball club. I think it's important. I think it'll help the ball club. You got to move it forward. You can't, you know, I'm watching people still beat the Mets over the head for this year. What is the point? Move it forward. Give people something to look forward to. Let them see a direction. Right now, there is no direction, and the clock is ticking. No direction. You lose your number one guy in Cespedes, and we still don't know what direction we're going to go. We're still hearing we're evaluating what we have. That's got to stop. And the sooner they get a GM, if it's one of the guys in-house, fine. Fine. But get somebody to put on the big boy pants and make decisions and live with it. But have a direction. Have a direction. I'd love to see that sooner rather than later. And if they don't get a handle on this thing, as awful as things are now with the Mets, it's hard to believe it could get worse because this sense of doom and gloom is going to set in. Right now, I'll tell you, DeGrom understands he's not going to win 10 games. So there's this sense of like, you start thinking about what you're going to do this winter right now. You still got to get through August, September, long, hot August. And you're thinking about what you're doing in the break when the season's over. You talk about guys having one foot on the plane out of here and how it could get uglier. I don't want to see that happen. So they need to make some decisions. Life goes on. Turn the page on this year. It's not the end of the world. And let's start building for the next year. But let's start building rather than, I hope we stay healthy. Let's build around these four pitchers. Please. Doesn't work. Hasn't worked. So all the best to you guys. We'll get through this together. I'm with you. I'm not going to quit. It's getting harder to do these little potters, I'll tell you that, because I love to talk about happy stuff, but we'll get through it, and we'll look to the future. All right? I'll see you next time.